Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan Behind the Glass. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Before we get into roster construction, reminder that it is Top 5 Tuesday. And Mike, your category
Top 5 movie villains. And I feel very confident in this list. There's going to be a couple curveballs in there, but again, it's my list. Okay. So it is what it is.
Was it more gut or Google?
Definitely more gut.
Okay.
Definitely more. I think I already had 4 in my brain, like in the car this morning on the way in. And I added a 5th one after some thought. And you know, I got 2 honorable mentions as well, just to make everybody aware that I was thinking of those.
Really what the honorable mentions are for? It's like, dude, I know
they're out there. I didn't completely forget. There's 2 honorable mentions. They are there. I just elected not to place them in my top 5.
Well, that is happening at 7:40 today. It is also cut day. Deadline is 4:00 today, and we've been going through the roster, kind of putting together who's going to be on the 53-man roster for the Falcons between the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. You guys have about 14 guys picked out. What about the O-line?
This is the back end of this one's tough. I kept 9. I'm assuming you did too, if our math is all correct, because this is the last offensive position.
Yeah, I kept 9 too, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't hard. I mean, I kind of knew exactly. I know exactly where they're going. I think, anyways.
Okay, so you got the starting 5, which is Jake, Matthew Bergeron, Ryan Neusel, Chris Lindstrom, and Elijah Wilkinson at this point, right?
Well, I got McGarry, but
you got.
I got Wilkinson as one of my last ones in, but only because you have to keep McGarry and then put him on the IR.
Okay. So let's skip past that part and let's talk about when we get to Sunday, who are the 9 guys on the roster?
Well, here's the problem. I kept the starting 5 and then Norton and then Wilkinson, Hinton, and Gwynn.
Okay, no wonder you didn't struggle.
But
you kept McGarry and Norton on the roster.
But here's the deal, you have to.
I know, but Sunday they're not gonna be on the roster.
Because I don't believe the other 2 guys are currently on your 53.
They're not. They got it. Yeah, you're right. They got to be added after Norton and McGarry.
No. I mean, on your 90.
Oh, you're saying you're adding. Okay, now that makes more sense.
I think they're outside the building.
You're coming from outside the building. And I'm with you. That's why I said the back end was hard to kind of tell, because it's like, I don't know where they're going after that.
This is what the 53 is going to look like. I did mine based on this is what it's going to look like when they send the email today. Not when we get to Friday, which it could look different, right? Mm-hmm. Based on, you kept Carlos Washington, but I don't know. Name a running back is cut, and you're like, well, we saw him, we liked him, we're going to sign him. So that's why I did the offensive line this way, because there are going to be guys that they've seen or, you know, that they've coached with and other places that they're like, hey, this guy could come in and play a position, play this role that we need. There was a guy that I know that we're going to get calls about probably in wake-up call today that was released by Detroit. I'm not sure if he would be something that would fit how they want to run things, but I would definitely take a look in Dan Skipper, right? He's a big dude. He's 6'9", like 360.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a huge human being. I watched a little bit on him. I'm not sure if you did. At times, he looked slow. I'm not sure if he's as good in the run game. I'm not sure if he's any better than McGarry in the pass game.
Yeah, I would just say, and I obviously know of Dan Skipper, and I think a lot of people do, and that's why you're saying, hey, we'll get some cut, you know, we'll get some calls today during wake-up call, because it's like people know his name. And the minute you see somebody cut that you know their name, you're like, oh, could we use them? Mm-hmm. But, guys, you have to remember that there's a reason he's being cut in Detroit. Like, it's not just that cut and dry where it's like, oh, I know his name, so he's really good. That's just not how it works. There's a lot of quality players out there whose names you might not know that are, you know, that are probably better than Dan Skipper. So I'm with you on that. It's just it's frustrating. But I just having not watched any tape on him this morning, I would not think that he fit what they want to do. Although it's not like Caleb McGarry is extremely fleet of foot, and he's actually good at what they want to do, so I don't know.
No, but he played Skipper played Friday or Saturday, whenever the Texans and the Lions played their 3rd preseason game, and literally the first pass that he's in, he gets beat. for a little, it was a strip sack. They recovered the Detroit recovered the ball, but so but then he looked okay in some pass protection, but he looked a little. I don't know. I sit here and feel like trying to critique an offensive lineman to an offensive lineman is a little bit of a weird spot. But he,
fair enough.
He looked a little slow at times in some of the things he was doing.
I think you're spot on, and I think look the nature of the beast. Like I said, is there is a reason why he was cut in Detroit, and that's probably exactly what the reason was. So I'm with you.
Okay. But that's why I kept Wilkinson, Hinton, and Gwynn because I just think right now. And look, I'm not saying they won't bring in somebody up. They might. Have Gwynn on the 53 to begin with, and see somebody they like better. Yeah. And like Nick Harris is a name. He's a lighter center that I think could run. They run in similar stuff to what he got cut by Washington yesterday, and he could be a guy that they maybe look at.
The biggest takeaway, Allie, is that they're keeping 9 offensive linemen in both of our rosters, mm-hmm. right? And you can mix and match who that is, and once those guys are on IR or short term IR or whatever it is. Then you have to fill in the back. But I think they're keeping 9 as well.
All right, you've got 9 there. What about the D-line?
Oh, man. Go ahead, Bo.
I kept 7.
I did, too.
I kept 2. And I think it's pretty obvious. You keep Rook, Dorless, Onyemata, Harrison. This is where we might disagree.
Okay.
I kept TQ Graham.
Yeah.
Kentavious Street.
Yeah.
And Lakell London.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, no, we're spot on.
I think Simeon Barrow, who I love, absolutely love Simeon Barrow. I think he is a guy that you can get to the practice squad. I know there's a number going out there. He's one of the top interior defensive linemen win rates. Okay. I don't think that's a negative. I think it's a good, but I think you could probably get him on the practice squad, and I think they would love to have him on the practice squad. If they think there's a chance they can't keep him, they would cut – they would cut maybe London and try to get him to the practice squad.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see that flipped. But I'm with you. I think if I'm just picking the top 7 right now, that's the guys I'm going with. And you're really talking about 2 spots, honestly. I mean, you're kind of talking about 2.5, really, when you talk about the way that we run defense. So I'm with you. I had the same group. I had Dorless Street, Onyemata, Harrison, Graham, Lakell London, Barrow making it to the P squad, and Morgan Fox obviously has already been cut. So,
how about the edge? How many spots there?
I kept 6.
Yeah. Well, it just depends on where you're lining up number 51, I think is the question. Oh. Is D'Angelo Malone part of your 6 or no?
No, he's not. Not okay. That 6.
Okay.
Doesn't mean he doesn't make my roster.
Right. That's like he's such a tweener. He's such a tweener and obviously a specialist. I'm with you. I think we probably line up exactly the same. Braylon Trice and Khalid Kareem. Or on the back end of that, but obviously you keep the first 2 rounders and you keep Leonard Floyd and Arnold Ekwueze.
Yeah, easy enough.
I think
Trice and Kareem were on there.
Now, D'Angelo Malone is one that, and obviously we're going to get back into this later on in the show, but D'Angelo Malone is one of those where I was like kind of going, okay, which group does he even belong to? You know what I mean? Like he's played both, and he's played both honestly pretty extensively throughout preseason when you add in practices, when you add in games. And you just mentioned it a minute ago. You were talking about Terry and him being in the booth with you and Wes and Dave on Friday night, and he talked about how you construct the roster and how you start with the active 45 game day guys, and you kind of build back from there, and you talk about guys who can cross-train and play multiple positions, and he fits exactly that conversation. There is a reason they started cross-training him at inside linebacker because he's so good as a specialist, as is D. Offord, as is Natron Brooks, as are a number of other guys that are going to be talked about in these conversations today, that when you can add them and they can play 2 different spots, they become extremely valuable, and he is one of those.
He can play 2 different spots on defense, but he's a starter on special teams, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I would look at him.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I don't think there's any secret about it, man. He's I know Kadarius Hodge went to the Pro Bowl last year. I think that he is just as well thought of inside those meeting rooms up in Flower Branch as a special teamer at like Kadarius Hodge's.
We don't think – when we think of special teams, we don't think of he's a, like a starter role. Like we don't – but they look at special teams as these are my 11 starters on punt coverage. These are my 11 starters on kick. These are my 11 on field goals, right? I mean, what's the old Keith Armstrong thing? What position you play?
Yeah.
I play wide receiver. No, you don't. Julio Jones does.
Julio Jones played wide receiver. Roddy White, he played wide receiver. You play L4.
Yeah, right?
You play gunner.
So that's the way they look at it.
Nobody care what you think you play.
It's a hard thing to grasp. It's probably the thing that took me the longest to grasp as I tried to learn more about the sport and kind of how NFL coaches look at it. It's that part is hard that they look at special teams guys as starters, and there's a couple of guys that if they can just do a couple of things on defense or offense, but they can start special teams at a high level, they'll make a roster all the time.
So I've done some quick math over here. I think you guys have pulled 37 guys. That means you have about 16 left. Is that about right?
This is going to, like, I cannot wait to hear who Bo kept in the secondary.
Okay.
This is going to be intense.
I don't know. Maybe I did some math wrong.
Well, I might be doing math wrong, too. We'll figure it out,
though. I've got 14.
All right. Maybe I did some math wrong. We'll figure it out. I was moving quick. 8:20, we will pick back up this conversation because going up next, we're going to go in the huddle. Trey Hendrickson has got a new deal. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan keeping us on track at 7:23.
That's right. You know what? Some topics that I refuse to talk about. That's why I joined Dukes and Bell at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. You can do it this Friday as they'll get the Labor Day weekend started early with great food, drinks, and scenic views. Carl and Mike will preview all of the big week one college football matchups, and Mike will be disappointed to see what happens in Tallahassee to Florida State. I say Mike Bell.
I was going to say, Mike. I don't think I'll be that upset.
No, you won't, but Mike Bell will be, as they'll be easing into the holiday weekend along with you. That's Dukes and Bell Friday from 2 to 6 at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, Sports Radio 99 The Game. I can tell you firsthand that I've been a part of those Labor Day weekend broadcasts. On a Friday going from at Twin Peaks going into, you know, it's for opening week of college football. There's always a game in Atlanta. Twin Peaks is always, dude, it's great. It's got a great mix of whatever teams are in town. Mike's getting, he's doing what he does with Shenanigans. It's always a fun show. So that's 2 to 6, Twin Peaks Buckhead.
There you go, man. I'm all about it. Living that life.
All right, let's go in the huddle. Well, today is cut down day, so I could not keep up with all the texts that were going on in our group chat yesterday. Because it was headline.
Thing was on fire.
Yes, it was on fire. I went through everything this morning to make sure I didn't miss any story. But the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson have reached an agreement. It will apparently give him a $14 million raise on his existing contract, upping him to $30 million, which makes him one of the highest paid defenders in 2025.
And they tried to get him to do a 3-year extension, and he was like, nope. And he didn't want it, and then they just both said, you know what, let's get through this season with you, and then you can go your way, and we'll go our way. And that's essentially what they're doing. And they're going to expect the younger guys to kind of grow this year, and then next year, you know, Shamar Stewart's going to have to step up.
Either side win in this?
No. No,
I've been trying to decide that, like, who was better off after this. I don't know that either one of them are better or worse off after this decision. Kind of like I'm kind of okay with it on both ends.
Well, the Bengals tried to pull the sign this 3-year extension, but there's no guaranteed money next year.
Yeah.
On him, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that." I think you can probably say he's getting that guaranteed money this year, and then next year he gets to walk. But no, because ultimately what he wanted was a deal with guaranteed money. Past this season.
Yeah.
He didn't get that. So now he's got to go out there and take – he's essentially playing on the franchise tag.
That's essentially
what he's doing.
He is, and the reason – I agree with you on that, and the reason I don't think he lost is go out, have a good year, and you are going to be right back in the same situation next year, and you can leave Cincinnati.
But
like I'm like, okay, cool.
But you're 30 – you're, what, 31 at this next
He'll
year?
He'll be 31 next year, yes.
Doing this, and so – maybe you only get 3 years and 2 years guaranteed because if he goes out and plays at a high level, he might get 4 years with 3 guaranteed. But
yeah.
I don't think anybody won, but I don't think anybody lost either. I mean, yeah, I think both sides
right
are getting. But, if it's him, he wanted a guaranteed contract with more than this year. This is almost to me like playing under the franchise tag. And I think that was part of the agreement is they said they wouldn't franchise him. I had to double check that, but I think that was kind of part of it.
The Commanders and star wide receiver Terry McLaurin, they have agreed to a 3-year extension worth $96 million that will end his hold in and get him in uniform for the regular season opener against the Giants.
Is Terry McLaurin a top 10 wide receiver? That's what I keep coming back to, because they're going to pay him like a top 10 wide receiver, and I'm not sure that he is. I think he's very, very good. I'm a huge fan, and I think they almost had to pay him because of this window being quote unquote wide open for them under the, you know, the Jaden Daniels rookie contract. But I think he wins in this. I think it's just due to the circumstances. I think he comes out better off than he would have, and you know, if any other ending had come from this.
Do you think DK Metcalf is?
Yes.
But then I think Terry McLaurin is, because I think Terry McLaurin has done more with less at that position, at the quarterback position, in his years in Washington, and then maybe Metcalf has with more in Seattle. I think McLaurin has always been needing a Jaden Daniels type player. So I'm a big fan of him.
I'm a big fan too. Of McLaurin. I am too, and I'm happy that he got his money, and I'm happy that he has,
but,
you know, the zeros behind his name given the situation. I think he deserved the money strictly from the fact that he's been through the low times in Washington. That's why I think he deserved the money. I don't think it's, hey, let's pay him like a top five wideout. I think it just is. It's a circumstantial contract to me.
I'm not sure if either one of them, if we went through every receiver, I'm not sure if either one of them are actually top 10 receivers, but McLaurin or Metcalf. But I think they're in the conversation.
Yeah, I think they're both easily top 20. I just don't know if they're either top 10. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of going through it in my head. I'd have to look at a list right now. It's kind of a weird statement to make when you don't have a list in front of you, but okay.
I mean, right off the top, CeeDee Lamb, St. Brown.
Tyreek Hill.
You've got, I think Drake is kind of moving his way in there. You got Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
That's what, five right there without Drake, I think.
I think DJ Moore.
Yeah. He's on the cusp.
What about Devontae Adams?
I think he could still say he's one.
We could
one.
Do this all day. Probably shouldn't do this right
What's
now.
The Puka?
Yeah, it's
Puka's
solid.
One.
It's very solid.
So you can go through it. There's a lot of good receivers out there right now.
Yeah.
Well, and wide receiver Amari Cooper is returning to the Raiders on a 1-year deal. Previously, he spent 3 years with the Raiders in Oakland before being traded to the Cowboys in 2018.
I don't even know what to think about this. I'm not huge on Amari Cooper. He seems like to me a guy that
he probably retired.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know what the thing is. I've never been huge on Amari Cooper because he sounds like he always seems like to me like a guy that has a lot of raw talent and does exactly what his talent level gets him and doesn't ever go any further beyond that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm really good. I'm just going to play. You know, I'm never going to like try to reach some kind of new level. I'm just really good, and I can just keep kind of floating along, and people are going to keep paying me on 1-year deals and picking me up. Like, what has he been doing for the last few weeks? Like, that would be my biggest question. Did you just like throw a flyer out there and you're like, hey, you know what? That's a guy that we can kind of leverage. You know, who's the receiver they have that's looking for a, you know, trade now? Jacoby Myers. Yeah. Well, we can make Jacoby Myers sweat on that one with bringing in Amari Cooper. I don't know, man. It is what it is, though.
Yeah, we didn't mention AJ Brown's one of the top receivers either. He's in there. Yeah, I don't know what to think of this. I don't know what to think of this because I thought he retired. So did you just not want to – why would you – it's weird to me that you retired because wasn't he still with Buffalo?
I don't know where he was.
So you retired? Really don't. I don't know. None of this makes really a lot of sense to me. I don't know. I guess. Good luck.
It's just – it's weird because you don't think of Pete Carroll as a guy that does things like this, you know, kind of scratches and claws, but – it's just a weird situation, man. And in the end, I guess we'll see what happens with him. But I don't know. This is also, who is it? Who is it? Hunter Renfrow that used to be with them that, you know, retired and then came back to Carolina? So that's.
No, he never retired.
He just took a year off?
No, he was injured. He had a health issue.
Yeah.
And then someone came out and said, Hunter Renfrow is retired. And he goes, oh, really? That's news to me. And then he resigned
with right.
Carolina.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened.
He had a health issue. I got to Google what it was. Something.
No need. Let somebody else do that. You're good.
Well, and the Browns have traded quarterback Kenny Pickett to the Raiders for a 5th-round pick in 2026. Kenny will be the backup to Geno Smith.
All that talk about having 4 quarterbacks on the roster there in Cleveland, huh?
Well,
they might sign Tyler Huntley back. Don't think they won't do that, because they could. So they could absolutely sign Tyler Huntley in Cleveland. I think this frees up, though, Easton Stick, Falcons release, and they could get him on the practice squad, because to me, the Vegas was a team that obviously was looking for a backup, and I think Easton Stick kind of fit that. He got started NFL games and such. So did you see Ben DiNucci's announcement?
Yeah, I did. That was really cool. I was happy for him.
So explain what he did.
So it's just funny because I'm such an ass, because I watched his announcement and his video pops up and he's wearing a Falcons jersey and a Cowboys helmet, which is kind of the way he played Friday night, where he throws a duck from the Falcons side to the Cowboys for an interception. But he's going to be doing college football games on Saturday.
You're a complex person talking about football. You were just talking about how irritated you get when people call quarterbacks game managers. And here you are talking about this guy was essentially playing for the Cowboys on Friday night.
Did you see the ball he threw?
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, it was Uncle Rico.
I'm going to tell you something. He was anything but a game manager Friday night.
No, he was. Look, I said today, I don't blame him. Like, he was like, you know what? I might get one pass in a Falcons uniform. I might as well let this thing eat down the middle of the field.
But when do you think the conversation started with him and this new career path?
Way before he was signed by the – look, he did that. He knew, Allie, that he was never making
I was thinking, I was like, how does a deal get done that
this
fast? There's no way.
Do you remember when Greg McElroy, quote-unquote, retired from the Jets? It, like, started, like, a week 16 or week 17 game, and then, like, in the offseason, he was like, yep, I'm done. I'm going to go to the SEC Network. They're launching this this year. So I'm going to go ahead and move on from football.
Ulcerative colitis is what Hunter Renfrow had. I don't know how to pronounce it. I think I butchered that, but that's what he had that took him out of football in 23.
That was basically it. Ulcerative colitis.
Ulcerative?
Look at that.
Ulcerative colitis, yep.
Oh, thank you, Dallon.
Hey, I got you, man.
All right.
What? All right,
y'all are cringy, both of y'all.
Coming up, Spencer Strider did get a career record last night. We'll cover that. And it is Top 5 Tuesday.
Top 5 movie villains. Don't even come for me. I'm just telling y'all right now, it's ironclad. It's bulletproof. I feel good about it.
If you do, you'll be sensitive about it.
It's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
We are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is behind the glass, and this segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Mike's Top 5 Tuesday is coming up momentarily. I'm sure Squidbilly will have some criticisms of the top 5 villains that he lists off. But before we get to that, let's talk about those Braves. They did lose yesterday in Miami 2-1. Drake Baldwin had a homer in the ninth. It just wasn't enough. But Strider had 3 hits in 7 innings, struck out 3, walked 2. He did get his 600th career strikeout last night, and Snit said that Strider was looking a lot better.
I thought it was a lot better. It was really good. His fastball played better. It's just good to see him get out of that jam in the 7th inning, and I think it's a good outing for him. Really good outing for him. So maybe that's something that'll kind of spring him ahead and get him on, get him going.
Yeah, I get a chance to watch the ball jump out of his hand last night. It did look a little bit different. I think he was hitting his placement a little bit better, and just, again, stinks that we've had this resurgence of offense here in the second half and can't get much done for him last night. But nonetheless, I think it, like we've talked about for a number of weeks now, anytime you look at him and you look at everybody else on this roster, it starts to just look towards 2026 and figure out what the deal is.
Do we see him get to the seventh inning very often?
Doesn't feel like it.
Right? No. I always feel like it's like 3 or 4.
Doesn't feel like it.
Well, he's never been overly efficient with his pitches because of his style. He's a strikeout pitcher. Well, at times will go deep in counts a lot, and so he's always racked up a pitch count. But no, we don't. But it was nice to see last night. It was one of his better performances in a while, which was awesome to see. Doesn't get you anywhere. But that's fine. I thought, when you just want to see some improvement from him. And 7 innings with only 95 pitches. And don't tell me, well, the Marlins suck. Well, they're a hell of a lot better than you right now. Not say hell.
I was thinking the same thing.
Only 3 games, but they're still better. Still better.
That's what was heartbreaking about this loss last night. I was like, if they could sweep this series, they could get ahead of the Marlins in the standings. But
yeah,
it's 2025. So
I'd say the frustrating thing for me, and we all, you know, prior to the year, or at least going through April, we all kind of had our relievers that we felt really good about, and mine was Pierce Johnson, and he gives up another tater last night. Although all of them really, they've had a lot of bullpen success over the last month plus, and we've talked about Rice. We talked to Grant Friday about Rice Iglesias, and you know, would he be back in the fold? But it's like, oh man, doing so good, and then Pierce Johnson comes in the eighth, and you're like, okay, even if we could have scored one, you're going to go ahead and give up an extra home run and give them some insurance. So even when Drake Baldwin does the damage in the ninth, it wasn't worth anything. Yeah. So
the series continues tonight. Hurston Waldrop will be on the mound.
All right, Dylan. And as always, a reminder that today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come Wing It Family Style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. All right, so we're going to do this a little bit different once we get to the top five. I'm going to see if you guys can guess, just based on one clue, who exactly is part of this reveal. Now, a couple things to talk about before we get there. First and foremost, the clips that I'm going to play, the audio clips.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these are a little bit hard to pull clips for when you talk about movie villains. You know what I mean? Like, some of them are actually, if you pull the right clips, kind of terrifying. Okay. If you pull the right ones, I'm like, do I want to give people these vibes at 8 a.m. on a Tuesday morning? Probably not. You know, you're talking about some pretty dark stuff with some of these people. Not only that, but one in particular, you can't get through one sentence without at least three F words. So it's like, dude, I'm not going to pull. What kind of villains did you pull? Yeah, that one's going to be quite an interesting one. All right, before I get Dylan to get to number five, here's my two honorable mentions. All right, you ready?
Ready.
Darth Vader. We good?
We're good
we
with
know,
that.
We know that I haven't seen Star Wars.
Yeah,
all right, so don't come for me. All right, it just is what it is.
It's a good one.
I'm giving him an honorable mention because I am bowing down to the fact that everybody universally knows him as the villain.
Yes.
Right? All right, and also number two on that list, the only two honorable mentions, Hannibal Lecter.
Ooh.
Hannibal Lecter, you know, obviously just fits right in that void of just villain, just dark dude. All right, so I put honorable mention, Darth Vader, Hannibal Lecter. Any issues so far?
I'm good with these.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they're on the list.
Okay.
I think they could probably be in the top five, but the fact that you have them on the list is, you know, we're making progress.
All right, Dylan, play the sound.
Number five.
All right, this one is a criminal mastermind from West Germany in a movie that was released in 1988.
Hans Gruber.
Play it, Dylan.
I assume you are a mysterious party crasher. You are most troublesome.
For a security guard.
Sorry, Hans, wrong guess.
Would you like to go for double jeopardy where the scores can really change?
When Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Oh, man, what a good line that is.
I'm surprised.
What a good line that is.
I'm surprised you went with that line. He's got so many good ones, but there's one he's like, he's wanting to nuke the whole building, Hans. He's like,
yeah.
when you steal so much, they will find you.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I was looking through cuts trying to play, and obviously when he says the yippee-ki-yay back to him, I was like, that one would be great, but obviously I can't play that. You know, there was a bunch of them in there where I was like, I can't play that.
Mr. McClane. Yeah. Mr. John McClane.
I also almost played the scene where he introduces himself and calls himself Bill Clay. Do you remember that? When John finds him?
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want anybody to get confused as what I'm talking about here. It's definitely Hans Gruber.
I'm glad that was on this. That's such a good – God, he's so good in that role.
So good in that role. He also has another villain role, which we'll get to in just a second. But, Dylan, let's move on.
Number four.
All right. I'm just going to say this guy's real name and see if you guys can get it. In the movie, his real name is Roger Kent. Anybody know?
No.
Roger Kent is his actual name in the movie.
I am blanking.
Roger Kent. Okay, the movie was released in 1995. Does that help?
Roger Kent.
He's known by something else, but no, don't hit your mouse over there. I see what you're doing. Put the mouse away.
Take your hand off the mouse.
I have to.
Dylan, play the sound.
What'd you just call? He becomes a myth, a spook story that criminals tell their kids at night. Rat on your pop, and Kaiser Soze will get you. And no one ever really believes.
Do you believe in him, Verbal?
Keaton always said, I don't believe in God, but I'm afraid of him. Well, I believe in God, And the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
Woo! Come on! Come on! Kaiser Soze? Let's go!
What's funny is
The Usual Suspects.
I have not seen this one.
So, I haven't either.
I went back there, Dylan was reading, he goes, Kaiser Soze. I was like, oh my God, I was lost.
So the brilliance of the movie is that, and I mean, that movie's...
It's 30 years old, so you're good.
The brilliance of the movie is Kevin Spacey is sitting there, and he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's Kaiser Soze, and he's like... He's basically telling it as he's like another, just a part of it.
Yeah. And, he's Roger Kent.
And you don't realize it, and they don't realize it till he walks out the door.
So as I'm writing this tweet, do I write Roger Kent?
Kaiser Soze.
No, you write Kaiser Soze.
Okay.
And that's why Roger Kent was the clue. All right. This next one's going to be pretty interesting because for most of the movie, you don't even know he's a villain.
Number three.
All right. This guy is an LAPD detective in a movie released in 2001.
I won't kill it like I did Hans.
Okay.
You don't want me to, right?
Do you know his name in the movie?
This is Alonzo.
Okay. Play it.
The sooner you can match what's in your head with what's going on in the real world, the better you're going to feel. In this business, you've got to have a little dirt on you for anybody to trust you. And when all this is behind you, there's going to be a whole other world that opens up for you. I walk a higher path, son. I can give you the keys to all the doors.
Oh, son, let's go.
Again, I'm
Detective Alonzo Harris.
I love some of these guys. You could have went
obvious. Is it cool that he's a villain?
What do you mean, is it cool that he's a villain?
Yeah, I mean, like, for most of it, he's just a
normal dude.
He's dirty. Yeah,
You know he's a villain most of the movie. Like, that's the entire movie.
It's the beauty of it.
The entire movie is Ethan Hawke's character having the internal conflict
of wanting
to be on that group, but also how much can he put up with the corruptness that is that team.
All right, let's move on, Dylan.
Number two.
This one follows nearly retired Detective Somerset and his new partner, Detective David Mills. Any guesses on this one?
This is not my wheelhouse.
Okay, fair enough. That's why I keep looking at Bo.
Is this seven?
But that's the point. We see a deadly sin on every street corner, in every home, and we tolerate it.
So good.
We tolerate it because it's common. It's trivial. We tolerate it morning, noon, and night. Well, not anymore. I'm setting the example, and what I've done is going to be puzzled over and studied and followed.
Oh, dude.
Have you ever seen this, Allie?
Good Lord, yes. That's such a good
movie.
Yes,
I've seen seven.
Oh,
the
man.
Way this movie ends, like, Amy had never seen this movie. We watched it before, and she was like, seriously?
Yeah.
That's how it ends?
Yeah.
We watched it. We were not been together too long, I don't think.
It was nearly impossible to find a good cut from this one that wasn't terrifying. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what am I going to play here? I'm not going to play the in the box part. Like, it's too early in the morning for people to be wrestling with those emotions.
Oh.
I'm not going to play that.
Dude, the way that movie ends.
Oh, man, so good.
Or Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's
all
John
these movies
Doe,
are
isn't
so
it?
Good. Yeah, his name's John Doe.
John Doe.
That's what he goes by, John Doe. John Doe's apartment, John Doe's, all that
you
stuff.
You better make sure they put seven on there.
Yeah. And also, the middle, the V in seven is a seven. All right, so, and I think this one's very clear, and Bo mentioned this one earlier. This actor secluded himself in a London hotel room for 6 weeks prior to his acting in this role.
I don't need to say it, right?
You don't need to say it. Go ahead and play it, Dylan.
Number one.
You see, a guy like me.
Freak.
A guy like me. Look, listen. I know why you choose to have your little group therapy sessions in broad daylight. I know why you're afraid to go out at night. The Batman. See, Batman has shown Gotham your true colors, unfortunately.
Hey, and that was a good cut, baby, from that. The Batman.
Yeah.
Is there? God, what an
Let me show you a magic
end
trick.
Seriously.
Unfortunate.
So tragic.
Unfortunate, tragic end to that, because there might not have been a better actor for a better role in the history of movies, and he was such a good villain, man. But unfortunately, like I said, It was tragic, and but man, I just have to hit to tip my cap to Heath Ledger's Joker in The Dark Knight. That was just unbelievable, unbelievable job by him.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that was great. I mean, now was that number one? Now,
yeah, that was
okay. I think the list is really good. I think it's probably your best top five list. However,
ever.
However,
it's been like 50.
However, it's a couple.
Who'd I miss?
Patrick Bateman.
Is that No Country for Women?
No, it's American Psycho.
Oh, interesting.
With what's my guy? Christian Bell.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen American Psycho?
Yeah, I've seen it.
No.
Really good.
Oh,
it's been a while, but yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I'm one of those people where I'm like, there's so much bad in the world. Why don't I just watch a comedy?
I'm telling you. And when we get to football offseason, I'm telling you, we're going to do a homework. It's going to be a segment every week where we do a weekend homework for movies to watch.
And I'll go home and rewatch the movie because most of the time I've already watched it.
Exactly.
And just so I'm
you can
update,
be the assignment guy.
But Anton Chigurh is No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
To me, those are two of the best villains because they're absolutely sociopaths to the nth degree. Like, they are the top tier of sociopaths in movie villain is No Country for Old Men and American Psycho.
I'm just trying to figure out how Thanos didn't make the list.
That's the one I was going to say is missing. I mean, that was a 12-movie arc for that guy.
Yeah, or Loki, or I don't know. I don't know any of that, but... Yeah, cool.
Loki was a pawn, bro. Loki ended up being a good guy.
It's not my lane, bro. Sometimes you got to stay in your lane. Sometimes you got to stay in your lane.
I'm halfway joking about Thanos, but I mean, Thanos, you can't make an argument.
Loki is more like a Tony Soprano type. Like he's
like an anti-hero.
Yes. Yeah, but Thanos is a very good villain. I do agree. He could have been an honorable mention.
He could have been. Yeah.
Well, and we welcome more criticism to Mike's list within the wake up call. If you have
we
some
call
villains,
it feedback, do we have feedback, to call it criticism,
feedback.
What you call it for mine?
Suggestions, constructive criticism.
There you go.
How about that? 404-726-0929. Also, who needs to be on this 53-man roster at 4 o'clock today for the Falcons? Please call us right now. 404-726-0929. Also on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.